Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, February the 19th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Brandon Howard from The Athletic. Brandon has been covering the Miami Dolphins for many years and, you know, He has very good insight on this franchise, on this organization, so it's always good to pick his brain and get his thoughts on all the latest happenings surrounding the Miami Dolphins. So we'll have him on shortly. There's really not much taking place right now in the world of the Miami Dolphins. This is sort of that quiet time of the year. We're a little bit away here from the combine, about a week or so away from the combine. NFL free agency doesn't start till the second week of March. And there's really not much happening right now. So it's kind of all quiet on the home front in Miami. Obviously, the big news from the weekend was the addition of Reggie McKenzie to Miami's front office, which is, you know, I think a great, great, he's a great person to sort of add to the mix. Because I think Reggie McKenzie, you know, he was let go by the Raiders, not because he necessarily did anything wrong, just because that is now John Gruden's team. So having Reggie McKenzie in Miami and part of the quote-unquote brain trust in Miami is a great addition. They also signed Tank Carradine last Friday, I believe. Again, that's just, he's just a body, and you hope for the best. I wouldn't sort of pencil him in on either the first string or second string depth chart just yet. He hardly played last year, and he's just a guy at this point, just a guy, and, you know, maybe he makes a roster, maybe he doesn't, but I wouldn't, you know, waste a lot of time watching film on Tank Carradine at this point in time. But there's really not much happening. There's a lot of mock drafts out there, and mock drafts are fun. Let's just say mock drafts are fun, but we also have to be realistic about this. Mock drafts this time of year, prior to free agency, are worthless. Yeah, I mean, and look, I admit it, our website right here, we put out, you know, one or two mock drafts a week, and I understand they're essentially worthless this time of year because until free agency happens and until teams start to fill their needs, you don't know where a team might look in round one of the draft. Because usually in round one, it's, yes, the best player available combined with what you need. So, you know, mock drafts in February really aren't worth the paper that they're written on. But, you know, they're fun to read. And if you're a fan, there's things you can sort of talk about, things you can have a lighthearted debate about, and, you know, it just sort of holds you over until, you know, free agency and the draft. Mel Kiper today from ESPN, he put out his second mock draft, and he had the Miami Dolphins taking Kyler Murray round one at pick number 13. Again, if that happens in real life come late April, I'd have no problem with that. Now, I am not the biggest fan of Murray. I've said that on this podcast week in and week out now for probably a month. But, you know, if he falls to pick number 13, and if guys like Chris Greer, Reggie McKenzie, Marvin Allen, and that whole group who now run the Miami Dolphins, if they think he's the best man for the job, I will give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm okay with it. I mean, but, you know, again, a mock draft in April, who knows? And when it comes to Murray, you know, we've seen things all over the map with him. We've seen some people got him as a number one player in the draft, and he should go number one overall. You got some guys who say he won't fall out of the top 10. There's no way he'll fall to pick number 13. You got some guys who say he shouldn't go in round one. And then you got some guys who say he should go at the end of round one. So, you know, when it comes to Murray, it's all over the map. But Mel Kiper and his mock draft, again, it's a mock draft in February, mid-February, has him falling to the Miami Dolphins at pick number 13. That's who the Miami Dolphins select. So, you know, we'll see. And I'm sure that'll change probably 20 times between now and late April. But I thought that was interesting because when it comes to Murray, who will be the talk of this draft, usually in each and every draft, there's a guy who everyone talks about. Whether it's Lamar Jackson kind of last year, where's he going to go? Is he going to go in round one? Will he go in the top 10? Will he go in the top 15? Where is he going to go, Lamar Jackson? Can he play in the NFL? And some other years, it was some other guys. You had the year with Tim Tebow. Obviously, anytime you mention his name, he will just dominate the news media. This year, it will be Kyler Murray. And he will be the guy everyone will talk about from now until he is selected and when he has a home. So that was Mel Kiper's 2.0 mock draft. Again, if it happens, great. But a lot can change and a lot can happen between now and late April. But I did find it interesting now that the first few mock drafts on ESPN, whether it's from Todd McShay or Mel Kiper, the one thing they can agree on is it seems like Murray might be, in their eyes, might be a fit for the Miami Dolphins. But we'll see. So what I'm going to do right now is take a quick break. And after the break, I'll be joined by Brandon Howard from The Athletic to talk all things Miami Dolphins. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wake in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Brandon Howard from The Athletic. Brandon, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, we haven't had you on in a while, so I figured this would be a great time to sort of, because there's been a lot, because a lot has happened since I last had you on. Let's talk about this. Yeah, because I had you on, I think, right before last game of the year, and obviously Miami lost, and they let go of Adam Gase. Now they have in Brian Flores. What are your thoughts on that hire, as well as some of the names he has sort of put together on his staff?
I think it's a great hire. When you talk about a guy that just really knows the game of football, can anticipate, knows what to expect before it happens type of thing, I don't think you've had that since Vance Joseph left the building. And I know a lot of people want to rag on Vance Joseph because of the numbers that he gave up. But you got to understand, you know, they had a lot of injuries that year. And he wasn't able to, you know, he had a lot of the adjustments that they made in order to kind of bend but don't break. That was due to Vance Joseph. And I think that Flores gives you that. And on top of that, the Dolphins do now have the talent to be a good defense. And on top of that, if provided everybody comes back healthy, you know, I think the offense is going to be in good shape as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the names he put together on his staff, I kind of like. Well, he does have two first-time coordinators here in Patrick Graham and O'Shea. He has brought in Jim Caldwell, who I think is going to be a great asset to this staff, and sort of he can somebody to lean on with each one of those roles, as you have a first-time head coach, as he was a head coach before Caldwell, and you have a first-time offensive coordinator. He was also an offensive coordinator. So that he can help out both there. And now there's been talk and rumors, I don't think it's official yet, that Dom Capers might be brought in as well to sort of be that senior advisor role, which, again, I think would be something great for someone like Patrick Graham to lean on.
I absolutely think it will be. It's going to be – I really think that Caldwell is an awesome, awesome coach. I think that he kind of got the short end of the stick there in Detroit, and I think that is definitely going to benefit the Dolphins because of the experience that he has. He was a winning head coach for the most part. He won a lot of games there in Detroit, and I really think that as far as the guidance that he'll be able to give a first-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator, a lot of coaches there that don't have the experience may just need a little bit of guidance. You know, I think that he'll be able to provide that for them. So I think he'll supplement what those other guys may be lacking right now. And I think it's going to be an excellent, excellent hire.
Yep. And there's also been a lot of sort of change in the front office staff as well. As we all know, Chris Greer runs the show in Miami. He's the guy. He's the guy who has all the power right now. But since he has taken over, they have brought in Marvin Allen, and just this past weekend, obviously, Reggie McKenzie, who two very well-respected guys. And then when you combine those guys as well as someone like Flores, who got his start as a scout, this Miami Dolphins now, they have guys who will be making who are now making all the these guys all came up as scouts. And I think that's something that you can't overlook when they sort of put together this roster and team. What are your thoughts on this now?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, when it comes down to, you know, what they've got now with Reggie McKenzie, you got a guy that was the architect of a team that made the playoffs. I believe that's another guy that you bring in that kind of got a raw deal in another, you know, with another organization.
Yep.
And, you know, he's now you're bringing him in to, and he and Chris Greer, those guys have an amazing rapport with one another. I've got a chance to kind of watch those guys interact with one another while in the press box. And, you know, just the kind of relationship that they have, I really think that's going to bode well. That's going to create a lot of synergy within that organization. You won't have any butting of heads because they view football, the game of football, the same way. You got two guys that really believe in putting together guys that can play multiple roles. You don't have guys that are specialists on teams. They don't believe in that. And you want guys that are multiple. And because they have that type of mentality and they believe in the same things, you won't see any butting of heads, and you'll see a roster that comes together very nicely here.
Yeah, absolutely. And when people talk about Reggie McKenzie, of late it's always been Raiders, Raiders, Raiders. Before the Raiders, he had a ton of success with the Green Bay Packers. He wasn't the general manager or anything like that, but he had some prominent roles with the Packers, and, you know, they've been very good for very long. So he has Absolutely. His fingerprints all over them as well. I just think Absolutely. This is something that sort of, it was released on like Saturday afternoon. It was sort of out there, but I don't think it's getting enough press, because I think adding someone like him to Miami's front office, which, let's be honest, Miami has been bad for the past 16, 17, 18 years, because they've made bad choices in the draft, bad choices in free agency, pretty much since the Shula days. I can say now I have a little bit of confidence in our front office.
Right.
That's
absolutely.
A long time
absolutely.
Ago. Yeah.
I mean, you have guys in there with a lot of, not just experience, but guys that really do know the game and know talent. And that's why, for the first time in a long time, I'm very confident in what these guys may be able to put together here.
Yep, absolutely. And when you start to look towards the draft, obviously the one spot everyone's going to look at is quarterback. And when it comes to this draft, the one name that it seems like everyone has an opinion on is Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. You know, I've seen some places say he's the number one guy overall. You see some guys say he won't fall out of the top 10. You see some guys say he'll go late round one. Then you see some guys say he shouldn't go round one at all. It is all over the map with Kyler Murray. So, I mean, I've seen it all. What's your thoughts on him? Where do you think he sort of fits? Because, honestly, it seems like everyone has an opinion, and it's all over the place.
Right. And the reason why it's all over the place is because, you know, it only takes one team to fall in love with you, right? And, you know, the situation and the fit is really where, you know, is what is going to end up placing him where he ultimately ends up being. And I think that the reason why, you know, there's so much, you know, variation between, like, you know, where people think he may go is because of the situation with the Arizona Cardinals. He could very well end up going number one overall. And because, you know, you've got Kingsbury over there with Arizona, and he's said nothing but glowing remarks about Murray. And and also the offense that he's run in the past, it's tailor-made to fit Murray. Now, where I have concern, I know people ultimately, you know, they go to the size of Murray. I'm not thinking about that. I believe that size is not a skill. I've said that repeatedly. But what remains to be seen is in college, what he had was, obviously he was in the spread, but what happens with a lot of times with the spread in some of these college offenses, particularly in the Big 12, is the splits. The splits are different. Their splits are much wider, which causes the, which causes a natural pocket to form. And that allows him or enables him to kind of see over the line of scrimmage, creates natural passing lanes for him. Now, what happens is in the NFL, sometimes you can't quite do that because that center is going to get pushed back into your lap. So you're counting on in college, you know, guys trying to stay at home to stop the big runs from happening. So that's why, you know, they're not going to be able to close or collapse the pocket as effectively as they would, you know, in the NFL. So remains to be seen if that's going to be able to happen for him at the next level. Are those wide splits along the offensive line, is that going to help him out as much as it did in college?
Yeah, and I think Ozzie will probably go, you know, top 10 if I had to guess. If I had to put down some money today, he'll probably go top 10. I just wonder if a team like Miami, where you have a first-time general manager with all this power, you know, would roll the dice on someone like him, because it is a little bit of a roll the dice with the size. And, or will a team that has maybe a more of a stable front office, who knows, even if they miss, they ain't going to be run out of town.
Exactly.
Maybe a team like the Broncos. Maybe a team like the Broncos. Maybe they roll the dice on him, saying, you know what, let's see how this goes, because – John Elway ain't ever getting fired in Denver, period. So it could be a team like that. I mean, there are some teams where it's more stable, who they can roll the dice and not have to worry so much. In Miami, I don't know. That's the thing. There'd be a little bit of risk.
Yeah, for me, just looking at the talent itself, for me, Murray should not go too much higher than where Lamar Jackson went last year. I know that people will disagree with me on that, but I really believe that, you know, from a talent perspective, that's where his talent range should place him. But it looks like he may go much higher because of fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And you also look at the other quarterbacks in this who will probably go round one. You got the Haskins kid from Ohio State, who I like a lot. I think he should be the first one off the board. That's just me, though. I'm no expert. And then you got the kid from Missouri in Locke, who I am higher on Locke than most. I understand that as well. Jones from Duke, he kind of scares me a little. I'm not going to lie. He scares me a little. But there's not much out there. There's not much out there.
When it comes to Haskins, that is my number one quarterback in this draft. And it's not particularly – you know, I hate saying this, you know, because it makes it sound like I'm, you know, reducing or I'm minimizing, you know, what Murray brings to the table. That's not the case. It's just that I am very high on Haskins and the things that he was able to do. I hear a lot of takes about how, you know, he has receivers just running free. It just was absolutely not the case. He routinely threw men open, his guys open at Ohio State. You know, he does a good job of just seeing what the defense is giving him pre and post snap, and he's putting the ball only where his receivers can get it. And that's a guy that's not going to throw a ton of interceptions. That's a guy that's going to always put you in the right position to make a good play or drive your team down the field to either get some points or to, you know, convert a very important third down. So that's the guy that I would, you know, I think his ball placement, his accuracy, his anticipation is top notch. And I, from a talent perspective, he would have been top one or two quarterbacks in last year's draft for my money.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how this all sort of plays out here with the quarterbacks. And I think it's going to be it's really going to come down to how they do in their pro days.
Absolutely.
More so than the combine. Although for Murray, how much he weighs and his height at the combine is going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's all how you look at your pro day, and it'll be fun to see how that plays out. Last thing for you, I'm going to give you a few names of guys who are on the Miami Dolphins because they're going to go through this rebuild here. And, you know, a lot of names that we're sort of used to seeing are probably going to be gone. But not all of them, but I think I'll say a few. So I'm going to give you some names and let me know if you think if they are on my if they are on the Miami Dolphins roster this upcoming year or if they're let go in the next, you know, 7, 8, 9 weeks here prior to the draft. Let's start with Kiko Alonso.
Yes, it's funny you mentioned him first. That's a guy I do not anticipate being on the roster. While he does have experience in a 4-3 and a 3-4, I just think that for the money that they're spending on him right now, I think it'd be best for them to cut bait because he doesn't necessarily fit too well inside in a 3-4, and he doesn't necessarily. I know they're going to be a multiple defense. Don't get me wrong. But in an event where they are going to elect to play that particular front, I think that he's best fit for a 4-3 defense, and he'd kind of be odd man out if they do elect to play 3-4. So I think that's he's probably going to be gone here because they're not going to get much usage out of a guy that they're paying that much money to right now.
Yep. Next name for you is one who he won't be released. It would have to be via trade. Xavien Howard. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think he's going to be a part of the Dolphins' future. You look at Xavien Howard. He was a guy that both Greer and Vance Joseph, when he was there in Miami, they both were extremely high on this kid. And it's hard to let your prized possessions go like that. And I really don't think that the Dolphins would seriously consider letting him walk, especially the season that he put together this year. So just as long as he can stay or remain healthy, I really don't foresee the Dolphins doing anything crazy here, letting him go. He's young and he's super talented, pay the man. That's all. I mean, it's too long. Too many times have the Dolphins let go of premier talent when it's, time or when they're rookie contracts expire or whatever it is. So just, pay the man what he's worth, keep him, and build on top of that.
I'm right there with you because I've been saying if you don't pay him, someone that you took and someone who you helped get to this point who's a very, very, very good player, if you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay? I mean, if you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay? So somebody's got to get paid on the team. So I'm with you on that, but nothing would shock me, though. Nothing shocks me anymore. another name, Rashad Jones.
He's a guy I don't anticipate being there. And here's why. I mean, I understand, Flores is a guy that, he preaches assignment and alignment. You've got to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Rashad Jones is the type of guy, and I think that when they do their self-scouting and they start looking at the players, that they have on the roster, he's a guy that he'll take liberties to kind of just do his own thing on occasion. And they let that slide a lot under Gase's, when Gase was here. But I don't think that Flores is going to be the type of guy to kind of let that thing go under the radar. And when he sees it, I don't anticipate them wanting to keep him around, but we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on that. But, that's a guy I anticipate being let go of.
And I also think if he's on the block, I think you'll see teams lined up wanting to add him. I think you'll see teams like the Saints. You'll see some teams like the Chiefs who would just line up to add someone like him because he might be the final piece on that type of team to sort of put them over the top maybe. But in Miami, what they're about to head through, it might not be a fit. Two more names for you. One is Kenny Stills.
I think Kenny Stills is around. He's the ultimate, team player. He'll do whatever his team asks him to do, whatever his coach asks him to do, whenever you want him to do it. And every team has to have that type of guy. On top of that, I really think it'd be hard for just ownership to let him walk, considering everything he's done in this community since he's been here as well. And I know that some of that, really when it comes to the business side of football is irrelevant, but Kenny Stills has etched his name here in Miami, and he's made his mark. And I think that both on the field and off the field, you know, he's their premier deep threat when it comes down to it. So, you know, until – especially last season, until Albert Wilson, you know, got hurt. So we'll see what happens with that, but I anticipate Kenny Stills being here.
Yep, and last name for you. And this one I was sort of hesitant to put on the list, but then I'm thinking if they wanted to move him in a trade, they could probably get something halfway. They could probably get something nice in return, and he didn't play that much last year. I know that's with a whole different head coach and stuff, and that is running back Kenyon Drake.
Kenyon, that's a tough one.
It is tough.
Because they went into the draft and essentially took a running back that has his same skill set.
Yep.
And he's younger, you know, but here's the deal. When it comes to Kalen Ballage, he's a guy, in my opinion, who's still struggling to find his way as a running back because his vision is not quite what a Kenyon Drake is right now. Because, you know, and this is not a knock on Ballage. It's just that it's the fact that he hasn't played a lot of running back. He's played a lot of different positions coming up playing football, ranging from quarterback to linebacker to whatever it is, because he's just a great athlete. But he hasn't had that experience just playing the running back position. And when you look at Kenyon Drake, he is a running back's running back. You know, he's got the vision, he's got the agility, and he combines all of that together. And I think it wouldn't be smart to let Kenyon Drake go at this juncture because you'd be relying on a very inexperienced running back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be really it'll be really fun to see how they shape this roster up. And we'll probably know more here probably over the course of the next month or so. Once the start of the new league year starts, you'll start seeing some guys let go. And you'll probably start to see some trades as well. And I think there's going to be a bunch of – look, there's going to be some guys who we know are just gone. Guys like Andre Branch, Devontae Parker, guys like that. They're just going to be let go and cut.
Juwan James.
James, yeah. Yep. His contract's up, though, so it's a little
different. Yeah, he's up. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how that's going to – I mean, that's one to watch, too, because if you pay him, you sort of got your left tackle, right tackle set up for the next 3-4 years or so. But if you don't pay him, that just now means you have a left tackle and nothing else on the offensive line. Essentially nothing else because Sitton's gone. The center they got from San Francisco there, he might be back. Kilgore. Who knows with Kilgore? I mean, they literally have nothing if they let him go, James. So
yeah, it's a blank canvas. So, I mean, it looks like through the draft and free agency, they're going to be trying to build their trenches. And I really trust Reggie McKenzie's of the world and Chris Greer's to be able to make that happen the way that it should for these fans. They've endured far too much poor line play throughout the years, and I believe now that they've got the leadership in place to make that come to an end.
Yep, and this is the draft too, where it's there's a lot of guys on each side of the ball on the line.
Absolutely.
So if their approach is this year's draft, load up on the line play. Then, you know, put off the quarterback for a year because we know what's going to be out there next year. You know what's going to be out there next year. And odds are, Miami will be picking at the higher end of the draft. I won't say number one, but at the higher end of the draft somewhere.
Absolutely.
So that might make more sense. And if that is the plan, you know, I can't knock it because it makes sense because they need help at pass rusher because they really don't have anything right now except for Charles Harris. Because I don't see them holding on to Quinn. I don't see him holding on to Branch. And Wake, who knows, even if he stays. You know, he's old, even if he stays.
Right.
And then on the opposite side, which we said. So it's going to be interesting to see the plan of attack they take here over the next few weeks and how that unfolds.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Brandon, thanks so much for a few moments of your time tonight. Everyone, be sure to read Brandon Howard at The Athletic and follow him on Twitter at @BHoward_81. @BHoward_81. Brandon, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.